hi to them, all right? Say hi to somebody, all righty? Today, I'm titling this message, if you're taking notes and you have one of those cards, I'm going to title this, and I keep changing it, but as of 8 o'clock this morning, this is the title, Words for Our Soul. Words for Our Soul. So if you're taking notes, write that down. And what that has to deal with is we can actually speak words for our soul, all right? Now, if you're new to church, I remember being so new, I didn't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were books in the Bible. I thought they were names that everybody in my neighborhood named their kid. I mean, I was just new. I was just new to church. So if you're new to church and new to the Bible, I'm just going to say this. Some of you already know this, but we have been created as a three-part being. Everybody go like this, three parts, all right? Now this part you get. We see this all the time, but we really are a spirit, all right? And the day that you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, this spirit becomes alive, made in the image of God. We become holy, blameless, and righteous. Woo! That's cool. That's our spirit, okay? And now, we also have this thing called our soul. Our soul is our mind. Come on, y'all know this. Our will and our emotions. All right. And as much as I'm renewing my mind by reading this Bible and meditating on it, and I do this, I still have emotions. So you still have emotions, okay? And sometimes, even though we're doing this, we're renewing this, and then life hits, and it gets crazy, my emotions can go wacky. They can go to the ceiling and to the floor in 10 seconds or less. Say crazy. Right. So I want to talk about that we can actually speak to those emotions. We can speak to our soul. So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, week one, we talked about, hey, this Bible is the most amazing book. There's nothing like it. The words in that Bible are alive and powerful. Okay, so we talked about reading your Bible, meditating on that, just taking a scripture and just chewing on it and thinking on it and speaking it for like a whole week. So we talked about that. And then we said last week, if you do that and then you've got this overflow going in there, you can actually speak to people words that will encourage them, words that can help them in their life. So that was last week where we were talking about speaking for others. But today we're going to talk about speaking to us. Okay, and you're all not crazy because you're going to talk to yourself. But this is what God says. We're going to talk to ourselves, all right? And the thing is, if you're not speaking to yourself and you had a week that was just crazy off the chart, and if you're not speaking to yourself and you got crazy going on, you're liable to not follow the path that God has, and you might even just get depressed and oppressed, and then you're definitely not going to the places that God has for you. So we need to be speaking to ourselves. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, speak to yourself. All right. Now, last week we talked about that we can speak to other people, but the cool thing is I don't have to wait for you to speak to me. I can speak to me. You can speak to you, all right? So here's my main idea, and you'll see this and hear this all through the message because I want you to walk out of here just knowing it. Just knowing it, and it's deep inside of you. So if you're taking notes, this is our main idea. Ready? We can speak nonsense or we can speak God's sense to ourselves. Do they have that up there? Oh, you guys are amazing. Thank you. I always forget they do this. All right. So we can speak nonsense. Now, when I say nonsense, I'm meaning today, not like babble, like you don't understand. But nonsense today means that you are not speaking biblical. You are not speaking what God says. So we're going to call that nonsense. So anytime you're talking not what the Word of God says, that's nonsense, okay? And that's kind of easy to do. Anybody ever find that's easy to do, start talking nonsense? You got something going on in your life, like life is blowing up, the kids are blowing up, the TV's blowing up, I don't know, things are blowing up in life. And pretty soon you start seeing that and hearing that. Next thing I know, I'm talking that. It's only me. You've never done that. Dear Lord, okay. So, and what happens is I can start agreeing with all this stuff, this crazy stuff and that's going on, and it could be with relationships, it could be with our finances, it can be with whatever, but I can start hearing this, seeing this, and I can start saying that, and then my emotions go bam, 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 wham, okay? You all go squirrely, right? This is not the good time to say right, but yeah, right. All righty. So our soul, our mind, our will, emotions can go haywire. Haywire. Does that sound better? Okay. Or we can speak God's sense. We can speak what God says. All right. So you can do that nonsense, or you can speak God's sense. Real simple. Okay. So, open up your Bible to Psalm 103. By the way, Pastor Sherry gave me this thing to listen to, and I listened to it last night, and I'm like, hot dog, this is a scripture that was on there. I'm doing it. So, you know, sometimes you like to know you're hearing all the voices of the Lord. So none of you got excited, but I did. Okay. Okay, y'all, it's Psalm 103. Stay there. We're going to go repeatedly back and forth to that, okay? So open up your Bibles, or if you dare to have the app and you promise not to do swipe to something else, get your Bibles out. I know, swipe to something else. All righty. Psalm 103. Open up that. Psalm 103, verse 1. It says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." So this is David. He's a psalmist, and he is actually talking to his soul. He's even commanding his soul. Hey, praise your soul, buddy. Okay? I'm a little dramatic here, but this is what David's doing. He's talking to his soul. What's our soul, y'all? Our mind, our will, our emotions. So he says to that, okay? So, praise the Lord, all my soul, and all my inmost being. So that's all our emotions. That's our spirit, okay? Praise his holy name. Verse 2, praise the Lord, my soul. It's telling you to praise it, all right? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And notice this part. And forget not all his benefits, all right? So David goes on, and we'll touch with that, as he goes on and he starts telling y'all the benefits, okay? So after reading this, there are times you need to remind yourself what God says, what he says about your life, what are the benefits, all right? And sometimes we have things going on in our life, and we're looking at what God says, and it just doesn't look like it's happening. And he says, that's okay. Start saying, praise the Lord. Look to the Lord, all right? And anybody ever have some failures in your life? Just me. Okay? Two, three, four, five, six. Okay, good. The rest of you. All right. So we have these things, these failures in our life that just we muffed up. I have muffed up, all right? And we can start focusing on the failures of our life, and we start going, oh, you know, I can't believe this happened. And God, where the heck were you? I'm like, why didn't you help me out? So we can go squirrely with our emotions and start thinking that stuff, all right? And David's saying, hey, brain, praise the Lord. Stop looking over there, okay? And I like what my one friend says, and I love this. And he says, hey, listen, even though you've got failures, shoot for the stars, all right? And if you don't hit the stars and you hit the moon, at least you're off the ground. So you know what I take that as? I have some failures in my life. I've had some things that I muffed up or I prayed and it didn't happen, and I'm going to still keep on. Everybody say, keep on. All right, keep on trusting God. Keep on talking to yourself, all right? So, I came up with, first I started with 10, then I got it down to 6, then I got it down to 4, so I'm only going to do 4. 4 scenarios that we deal with in life. Most of you have dealt with it, or some of you are still dealing with it, so I'm just going to pick 4. And these 4 things that we deal with in life, and I'm going to talk about how our soul can go crazy and how we can speak to it. All right, so that's what we're going to talk about. And so again, Psalm 103, after you read that, he's saying, hey, y'all don't have to lay down and take it. You can speak to your soul. You can remember what God says. So that's what Psalms 103 is about, okay? And listen, when things are not doing good, that's the one time you need to be on the God team and have him in your life and remember what he says. Amen? Or else you're going to be speaking nonsense, and we don't do that here. Okay, so number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. By the way, it has to do with guilt, and occasionally we deal with that. So here's number one. Exhort your soul to forgive ourselves. Exhort your soul to forgive yourselves. And some people really have a hard time with that. All right, there's been seasons in my life that I had a hard time with that, all right? But let me just toss this out. You're driving down the road, you left in plenty of time, and then there's this garbage truck, and then there's this school bus, and then this old person, they're always old people, okay, that gets in front of you, and they're going 10 miles below the speed limit, and you start waving your hand and saying things. Right? None of you, okay? And then I go, oh God, please forgive me, okay? And then I have to forgive myself, all right? Now, if all of you are just wonderful drivers, I know some of you sit in front of that TV at the game, on the game, and you are saying things that you need to say you're sorry to. So if you're not the driver, I know that, okay? So I remember being a young Christian, and I still have this happen where I have had some failures that I do over and over and over again. That driving one with those old people, just, you know, it's one of those, okay? Yeah. And the funny part is I have been classified those old people, you know? So I kind of, it's just like, duh, D. All right. But anyway. So I have had some failures that I just do the same dumb over and over and over. And this is what I've had to trust in. If I confess my sin, my dumb, my mess up, whatever words you like, if I confess my sin, come on, what's the rest of it? He is faithful to forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I have to trust that. By the way, is that the word of D or the word of God? That's the word of God. So I have to trust the word of God, right? And so there's people, and there have been seasons in my life I have had struggled with that I am forgiven, that God would forgive me. And some people are like, well, God can't forgive me because I did this, okay? And then there's others that start blaming themselves, you know, and they just can't see what God's done, and they blame themselves, and then they just dominoes to you are sitting in the pile of dirt. How about that? I said dirt. Okay? Anyway, so it's not a good place. So what we have to do is see how God sees us. We have to see how God deals with those problems that we have messed up, aka sin, all right? So back to Psalm 103. I told you we're going to be reading that a bunch today. Psalm 103, here we go. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and my inmost being, praise his holy name. Verse 2, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here's the next part. Who forgives all our sins. Okay? Who forgives our what? How many?
All.
Woo! All right? That is worth putting on your mirror. All right? So that word forgive, if you're taking notes, write this down. That word forgive means to release you of your sins. Okay? It also means forgetting your sins. And this is a cool part. It also implies treating the guilty party. I sinned, right? Treating the guilty party like they're innocent. Woo! That's a good one. You should write that down. Okay? So as a Christian, this is what I love to do. 1 John 1:9. If you, confess your sins to him because he is faithful and just to cleanse me and forgive me of all my righteousness, okay? Now, I know that scripture, and I know that Jesus died on the cross for all my sins. My past sins, what else? My present sins, what else? My future sins. I know that, okay? But here's the deal. There has to be this thing called the 180. There has to be this thing where you repent. All right, because that's in that scripture there, okay? And, sometimes we just do things we know we shouldn't do. Sometimes we say things we know we shouldn't do. And, you know, we should be always keeping your ears out. How many of you know after you do something, dumb, sin, you know? Like, you know. You don't even need your wife to tell you, right? right? You know. So you should be, you know, keep your ears open and do that. But when you do do something that you know the Lord said you should not do, or you say something that you know the Lord said you should not do, okay, when you happen, we should come to the place, we should have a moment where we say, God, I know you said not to say that and I did that. I know you said not to do that and I did that, okay? And that's called the 180, the repentance. Amen? All right. And listen, there are, when I was a young Christian, I would repeatedly have some areas that I just said that 2 hours ago and I'm doing it again. But I had to come to the place where I thought, this is what God said, and this is what I said, and I believe what God said. So none of you have ever approached me and said this. So don't look at the person next to you. But I, many times, being here at YC, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, Pastor D, you don't need to confess your sins. Jesus has already forgiven you of all your sins. And I'm like, how do you have a 180? How do you repent? You know, and then, and it used to bug me when people would do that, and I was just kind of young, and then this minister shared this to me, and I'm like, that's it, okay? And he said, so you can say, I'm going to say it too, the book of Revelation, last book in the Bible, all right? The book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, Jesus is writing 7 letters to 7 churches, right? And 5 of those letters that go to 5 of those churches, he is not too happy on some of the things they're doing. He is not happy at all right? Sin, right? So no, we don't like that word. So so Jesus is writing to these 5 churches, these 5 letters, and he is not happy with what they're doing. Now listen, this is Jesus. Jesus, who we know has forgiven all our sins. This is Jesus, who we know his blood was how come we're forgiven. This is Jesus who's writing this. This is Jesus who's writing this after he's died on the cross and forgiven us of all our sins. And he's writing to these 5 churches, and you know what he says? Repent! Repent! All right? So so he tells them to repent. And this is Jesus, okay? He tells them to repent, all right? Over and over and over. So guess what? Sometimes we need to repent, the 180. We need to say that, okay? And we need to say, Lord, I really did it. And I just confess that sin. And I thank you that you are faithful to forgive me my sins, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Thank you, all right? So because he is the God who forgives all our sins. Amen. All right, back to Psalm 103. Here we go. Okay, it talks more about forgiveness, Psalm 103, but jump down to verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? Okay? You know, I think about the first couple of years when I was a Christian, I was muffing up and muffing up and muffing up, and I thought, surely I should be struck by lightning, right? But thank God he forgives all my sins, okay? Doesn't pay me what I should have gotten, okay? And then verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. All right. If you're taking notes, what does it mean to fear him? And there's lots of levels of this, but today I'm just going to simply mean it means to have reverence for him. To fear him is to have reverence for him. To fear him is to have reverence for him, okay? So we should come to the place in our life, especially if you're calling yourself a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We should come to the place in our life where this is our standard. Not what the world says, okay? But this is our standard, right? So we come to the place, I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come to the place and I say, this is the standard. And then I go muff up and I go, God, I did not do your standard, right? So guess what that meant? I sinned. And then I say, Father, I sinned. I did not walk out your standard or say what should have said in your standard, and I confess my sin, and I thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness, okay? So that's part of fearing the Lord. This is what you do, all right? Okay, and that part where it says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much God loves you. He just loves you, okay? And you need to remember that he forgives you of all your sins, okay? And you need to say that all the time. Okay, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed all your transgressions, okay? And verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Wow. So he, you know, God looks at us and he goes, I know you're human. I know you mess up, right? And how many of you have mess ups? Some of you just getting to church today. We had a few of them, right? All right, so he knows that, and you know, even though I repent for things over and over, and I go, God, I messed up again, he loves you. How about he's even sympathetic to you, okay? So what I do is I go, hey, Father, you know, those old people. And he said, no. So, but seriously, I always laugh when I go, Father, I sinned. I said things or I did things, and I thank you that you are my Father and that you forgive me because you love me and my sins are washed away, all of them, no matter how many times I do it. In Jesus' name, amen, okay? Verse 14, moving along. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust. Okay, so God understands we struggle. How about that? He just understands we struggle. He knows we're human, and he will forgive us all of our sins. Now, when we make a mistake, when we sin, when we say things, when we do things, we can either start speaking nonsense, like, oh, I'm terrible, oh, blah, blah, okay? Every time we do that, or we can start speaking God-sense. Now, I grew up in a denomination, and they were big on penance. Anybody know that word, penance? Okay, so it went like this. Okay, you muffed up, and even though you might have confessed your sin to a priest, you would have to do penance. So this, it would go like this. So I'd do penance, and while I'm doing penance, and sometimes the penance was like for 6 months because I really messed up, I'd be thinking, oh, God, in this 6 months penance, you are not looking at me like your child. You're mad at me. You're not going to answer my prayers because I haven't finished my penance. That's a bunch of hockey puck nonsense, okay? Because we just read, right? He forgives you of all your sins and cleanses you of all righteousness. So, so don't be speaking that nonsense. Amen? Praise God. All right. Or this happens. Maybe what you did, the whole family knows about it. It has gone public. Right? And then, you know, this guilt and this shame, if you're not taking hold of it, the devil's not dumping on it, they're dumping it, rubbing your face in this, okay? You have to back up and say, nope, I know I did a big boo-boo, right? And I have confessed it to the Lord, and he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. Period. End of sentence. That is God's sense coming out of your mouth versus nonsense, all right? So we can either speak nonsense to ourselves, or we can speak God's sense. Amen? All right, you ready for number two? If you're taking notes, write this down. Exhort our soul when we are dealing with health issues. Exhort your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, when you're dealing with health issues, okay? I remember a long, long time far away when I was in my 20s. I didn't have any health issues. I didn't even think about health issues. We were just running and just great. And then I hit about 32. And one day we're watching TV, and I go, Jack, can you focus that TV? There's got to be a button back there. Focus that TV. And he laughed. He says, oh, no, girl. You need to go see the eye doctor. So I love telling the eye doctor a few things because, you know, I'm so much smarter than him. And I said, oh, I just need that when I watch TV. And he says, oh, no, put that on for everything and don't take them off, okay? So I started having some health issues, all right? And I'm still speaking to this, okay? But I got a new pretty pair. All right, so you can start having health issues as you, not necessarily, but you get older, but I kind of recognize it as I was just a little bit older. And you can have health issues because you don't take care of your body, right? The science has even proven that if you've got stress going on, you just living and swimming in the pool of stress, it will mess your body. Your body will start talking and you'll have health issues. They've also found out if you're not sleeping enough, right? you can develop some health issues, all right? And then we have this thing called genetics, and you can end up with some health issues. And then we've got just fear, and that'll just give you some health issues, all right? So here, we said, exhort your soul when you're dealing with health issues. Now, I've had some health issues, and I've prayed about them, and I've also had some failures. Like some people I know died, even though I was praying about this health issue, okay? But I was sitting at a table with a particular pastor with a bunch of guys, and I think I myself was, I was the only girl at the table, and he said this. He says, you know what? You got to be like a pro baseball player. Now, I know he loved baseball, and I know just a smidgen, okay? And I'm like, what do you mean I got to be like a pro baseball player? And he said this. He said, when they come to bat, 3 out of those 10 times they get up to bat, they don't hit the ball. Three out of the 10 times they hit the ball. And then he said, 5 out of the 7 times they strike out, they're tagged out, or they flied out. And he says, but you know what? They still get up to bat. So I've had some failures in my prayers about health, okay? I've been praying over these eyes for a while, all right? And what I'm telling y'all is just get up to bat. Keep standing. Don't quit. Stop. Don't quit saying what God says, all right? Amen? So much for muffing up my pro baseball player thing, okay? I'm sorry. All right. Let me tell you a story about me. Because if you ever give me permission to tell stories about you, I will. All right. So, story about me. I'm about 50, then 51, 52, 53, 54, 55. And in that 50 to 55, you get all these things in the mail from these insurance companies. And, you know, you're 50. You need to have this test done. And I'd hear this 51, 52, 53. And then I decided, you know what? I think I should go in and have a checkup. Now, I hadn't had a checkup since my last baby was born. I know, not good, okay? And I had my reasons. They're bad reasons, but I had my reasons, okay? So I finally make the appointment. I'm 55, and I go in and have this checkup. And the nurse comes in first, right? The doctor's like the last guy on the scene. And they do the blood thing, and they do blah, 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 blah. Okay, and then the last thing she did, I remember this, and all you nurses, I don't know what this thingamajig's called, but she wheeled in her cart, and there's this little machine here with a ticker tape. And then she starts sticking these thingies on here that are wired up to that thingy. Joe, what's that thingy called? Thank you. Okay, so they hook me up to that, okay, and it's ticker tape, ticker tape, ticker tape, ticker tape, and then she rips it off, folds it up, puts it on the clipboard, and then the doctor finally shows up, okay, because you know the nurses do all the, they do, nurses are amazing. They do the dirty, all right, and the doctors come floating in. So, but I love my doctor. He's been very dear to me. So he comes in, and he goes, you know, this looks good, this looks good, this you need to watch out, all right. And then, so I said, okay, good, see ya. I was like, whew. And really, I have to tell you, I had visited the doctor probably every year for poison ivy. Because I just refused to pay attention to what it is, okay. So I do visit, had visited the doctor in those times. So anyway. So then, you know, you get dressed and the doctor leaves and I'm walking out of that little room and I'm ready to head to the receptionist and he whips around. He's got my clipboard. He goes, oh, wait a minute. He says, I don't like what that, I call it the little ticker tape says. You need to go have a stress test. You need to see a cardiologist. I was like, whoa. He says, you need to do that right away. We'll help you set that up. So from the time, so that night when I went to bed, my brain is, okay, because my dad's side of the family, they dropped dead early. That heart attacks and strokes, and I'm sitting there thinking, am I going to wake up tomorrow? And then I'm like, Lord, I need to wake up tomorrow. I know I've got things to do. I don't feel like this is my season, okay? So I started, you know, my mind, so I started speaking God's word to this that's going on, all right? And I would speak this. Okay, sorry. So I finally get this appointment. I go and do the stress test, you know, and I'm hook you up all over the place. And then I get ready to leave. The doctor comes floating in. Love those nurses. The doctor floats in and he says, get out of here. Like he was really mad at me. He says, you are perfectly healthy. I was like, woo! And then I wanted to go, why did you scare the willy jillies out of me, you know? Okay. So, amen. All right, so. We all have opportunities to have bad reports, whether they're about our healings, our bodies, and stuff like that. And we all go through times, and some of you are going through some things, and it looks like this doesn't look really good, okay? But isn't it good to speak to this soul what God says? Amen. So you can speak God sense, or you can start speaking nonsense. And what was going in my head was a bunch of nonsense, right? So, and you know, you need to remember what Jesus did on the cross. What did Jesus do on the cross? He allowed his body to be broken and bruised so that we could receive healings. How many of you know that's what he did on the cross? That's part of it, okay? The other part is forgive your sins, all right? So that is why at the end of the service, pretty much every time at the end of the service, we say, hey, we have altar ministers and elders that are up front, and we will pray with you. Not nonsense. We will pray God sense for you. Amen, right? So let me give you a scripture. Open up to James chapter 5 about that. James chapter 5. So, you know, when this thing happened, I started praying over myself. I started praying, saying God sense what God did. But this is what you can do also. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone sick among you? Let them call for the elders or altar ministers of the church to pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick well. The Lord will raise them up if they have sinned, and they will be forgiven. I like that last part. He just throws in there, you know, if you've muffed up, that's okay. I'm still going to heal you. Okay? You're forgiven, right? Okay? So, and that last part, he'll raise you up. So, God sense. Say what God says. This is a good scripture. Write this down. Say, God, you said you'd raise me up, and I'm going to put my trust in that. All right? So, let me think. Go back to Psalm 103. We're going to add to that. Psalm 103. Let's read that again. Verse 1 through 3. Let me turn around. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my innermost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of our sins and heals all our diseases. All right. So, the first part of your Bible is called the Old Testament. That's the Jewish Bible. Guess what? It's written in Hebrew, all right? It's written in Hebrew, and write this down, Isaiah 53:4. You need that. That needs to be a posty one, okay? And it says, he bore our sicknesses and diseases and pains, okay? God put them on Jesus so that by his stripes we are healed, all right? So I knew that. And I prayed that, Lord, I know that Jesus went to the cross for me, and with his, he was bruised and he was beaten, and he took diseases and pains away from me, and with his stripes, I'm healed. I knew that. But you know what? It all, you can still come up front or have some, you don't even have to come up front. Deb said something. I said, well, let's pray now. Okay. You can pray immediately. All right. So, we can either speak to our emotions, nonsense, or we can speak God's word. Amen? All right. Okay. Third one. We're doing great today. Third one. Okay, if you're taking notes, write this down. Exhort our souls not to fear while you're in a battle. Exhort your soul not to fear when you're in a battle. All right? So we all go through stuff. Struggles. It could be financial struggles. It could be relationships. It could be body struggles. Okay, we all go through struggles in life. Okay, and King David was kind of going through a big struggle, and he wrote this to exhort himself. All right, so open up to Psalm 27. Now let me give you the background while you're flipping over there. Psalm 27. This is King David. He's writing this. All right. And he wrote this psalm to exhort himself when Saul was the king and Saul was trying to kill him. Your life looks pretty good compared to this, right? So he wrote this psalm to exhort himself when Saul's trying to kill him, all right? And so backtrack a little bit. The prophet Samuel had come to David when he was just a teenager, and he says, hey, you're going to be the next king. God has said, you're going to be the next king, and he anoints him because Saul's just muffing up. So God's like, David, you're going to be the next king. So eventually down the road, David meets Saul. And the reason why is he would play his harp to Saul because Saul's being tormented by evil spirits, all right? He's being tormented. And when David would play his harp, he would just be at peace and be at calm. That's why we put worship music on, y'all. If you had a day that your brain's going wah, 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 put some worship music on, okay? So David's doing that. Saul is not doing good. He's listening to these evil spirits and these voices, okay? David's going to take over my throne because, you know, he already knew the prophecy. So one day, David's at the dinner table, you know, the big feast, and he just finished playing his song, and they're all eating, and next thing I know, Saul picks up his sword, and he's trying to nail him to the wall. And good thing, David's a good dodger, right? And it was like, that one missed. And then it happened another time where Saul picked up his sword, tried to kill him, nail him to the wall. And David's like, I think it's time to get out of Dodge, right? So he gets out of Dodge, he gets away from the king, and he's running for his life. He is running for his life. He's hiding in caves. He's sleeping on hard floors. He's a little fearful. You think you might have a little fearful going on? So he's got a little fearful going on. And, you know, I was thinking about this. Don't go negative on me. But just imagine the president's going to go, I'm going to take you out. And he sends the Rangers and the Navy SEALs and his jets. And he's looking all over for you. Do you think you might have a little fearful thing going on? Yeah. All right. So he's got a little fearful thing going. And he decides, you know, my soul is fearful, meaning my soul, in my emotions, my soul, my thoughts, they're not in a good place. So I am going to exhort myself. All right, Psalm 27, here we go, verse 1. The Lord is the light and my salvation, whom so I fear. So we know he wrote this when he's in hiding and he's fearful, okay? The Lord is my light and my salvation, who shall I fear? So he's going, soul, hey, God's on my side. God's my light, even when it looks like dark. God's going to be there to protect me and bring me through. And my salvation means just total deliverance, all right? So the next part goes, I lost my place. Here we go. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. In other words, he's the shield. He's my protector. See what he's saying? Does that sound like nonsense? No, that's God sense. He's saying what the Lord is to him, all right? And then he says, of whom shall I be afraid? So what's the one thing he's dealing with right now? Fear. You've got all of Israel and the army trying to find you and take you out. He's dealing with fear. And he goes, I know, I've seen this, you know, trying to kill me. But I am going to say what God says, okay? And guys, we all go through battles and storms and just really tough times when every report that you hear is negative or somebody's just really not nice to you, okay, we do this. But listen, he's saying to himself, I am not going to fear what I see. I'm not even going to fear old Saul, okay, because the Lord is with me, right? And there's a scripture that says, if God be for me, who can be against me? He's saying God's sense, right? All right. Verse 2, jump down there, and it says, when the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble. Okay? So foes, F-O-E-S, is not always people. It could just be a circumstance, all right? Sometimes they're people, all right? Gosh, all right? But he's saying to himself, I'm not going to fear what I see. I'm not going to fear this person, you know? God is going to bring me through. And Saul, you can go down, but I'm coming through because God is with me. He is for me. He's going to go by my side, right? Verse 3, let's jump down here. Though the enemies besiege me, that's Saul and the army, all right? But though the enemies besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. So his soul is saying, hey, a little crazy out there, but my God's on my side. My God will deliver me, God will protect me, he will bring me through. Amen? And verse 10, it says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Now, normal mothers and fathers, when you muff up, wreck the car, flunk out of class, whatever, okay, they're with you, right? They're not going to ditch you. All right, but he's saying, even if my mother and father reject me and join Saul, I thank you, Lord, you are with me. You will receive me, all right? And sometimes some of y'all are all by yourself, And you need to say that. The Lord will be with me, all right? In verse 13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of God and the land of living. Okay, land of the living is not talking about heaven. Land of the living is talking about earth, right? And he's saying God says, God, I will see this on the planet. I will see that you will bring me through. I will see that my enemies will fall. I will see that you will just bring me to the good places, all right? So, you need to speak to yourself, not always what you see. How about God's sense, God's words, all right? Let me think. Did we do verse 14? Yep, we did. All righty. So, raise your hand if you've got some stuff going on. If you don't, I'm coming to your house for lunch. You can just tell me all your good stuff, all right? Yeah, we've got stuff going on. It could be people stuff, financial stuff, the job stuff, right? We got stuff coming on. And sometimes it looks like it's not going to end well, right? But listen, can't God resurrect things that are dead? Doesn't God give second chances? Doesn't God make the dead alive, okay? So I'm going to go with God. All right? Right till the very end, and even the day after. So we want to have God sense coming out of our souls, all right? Here's our last one. If you're taking notes, write this down. Last one. Exhort your souls when obstacles get in the way. Exhort your souls when obstacles get in the way. All right, two parts to this. Listen to this. So raise your hand if you've ever had a dream from the Lord or just a natural dream, and it looks like it's not happening. Okay, or you know that God spoke to you. Sometimes it's the word. You're reading this and you're like, "Whoa, this is mine." Okay, and you're reading the word and you go, "But God, this is like not happening. God, you said in your word, or you said in this dream, or these words to me that this is what's going to happen, and I do not see that." Okay, so sometimes that happens, right? And you can get a little discouraged. You can even get a little depressed. So, Psalm 42, flip over to there, Psalm 42. This is what's happening in Psalm 42, all right? And it is written to encourage us. When you've heard a word from the Lord about your kid, your marriage, your house, or your finances, you've heard, okay? And it just is not happening. This is a word of encouragement. So, Psalm 42, there's a little scholar disagreement going on, but I had more votes on this side, so I think this is right, okay? So Psalm 42, they don't name the author. A lot of times they'll say this is a psalm of David, or this is a psalm of minstrel so-and-so, okay? They don't name who wrote this, but they do say that it was written by a Levite, and a Levite would be a priest who worked in the temple, okay? So they say it was written by a Levite, and it says, the historians say, it's written, and he lived in northern Israel. He lived in northern Israel, okay? And he was a Levite, and so several times a year he would go down south, okay, to Jerusalem to worship in the temple, to worship in the temple, to do stuff in the temple, several times a year. But Israel has been taken captive over the Gentiles, so there are no Jews, and now you cannot leave northern Israel to go down south to Jerusalem to worship in the temple, okay? So this guy, and they're also being persecuted because of this, all right? So this is the author is telling you about what's going on in his life, all right? So you got the context. Now, going to ask again, how many of you have dreams and desires that are just not happening? How many of God has spoken to you, and your promises you read, and you're like, I have been expecting this thing forever, like 30 years, and it's just not happening, okay? So, personally, I've had the Lord speak to me about YCF. And I'm not seeing it. And I've had the Lord speak to me about things concerning me, and I'm not seeing it, okay? And you can get discouraged, or else we just have obstacles that just stop the things, the dreams. We just have obstacles that stop the dreams, okay? So This author, we're going to call him Levi, the Levite, the priest, okay, is writing this, okay, because you can feel like quitting. So listen to what he tells us to do. Psalm 42, verse 1. Psalm 42, verse 1. So we even had a song like this. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God, okay? Now, in context, This Levite's desiring, panting, desiring to go and worship in Jerusalem, corporate. But we can worship anywhere. But this is him. He's desiring. This is a dream. This is a desire, okay? So that's what he's saying there. Okay, the next part. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And when can I go and meet with God, all right? So we understand this guy is a captive up in northern Israel, and he desires to go down south to Jerusalem to work in the temple, to worship in the temple, and he can't. So think back, 2020, March, right? We weren't coming to church. I would do it differently, but let's just say what happened, okay? We couldn't come to church. But on that first week, thank you, Chad, comes up with a camera, records Pastor D in a message so you could watch online, all right? So you didn't miss a beat. Y'all just in your pajamas. I loved it. Pajamas, drinking coffee, watching Pastor D, right? Pajama Sunday, all right? So we didn't miss a beat there. And this went on for too long. Yeah. And then we came back, and it was really interesting to see everybody and to listen to everybody. Nobody said, "Oh, Pastor D, I just missed listening to you," because you wouldn't say that, because I know you were listening online. Okay, so you're listening online. But this is what I heard people say: "I am amazed of the power of corporate worship, Pastor D. I missed that." I missed gathering together for corporate worship, okay? So you get what this guy is talking about, right? So you didn't miss me, I know, okay. So this guy, this is what he's missing. And yes, his job is to go to Jerusalem and worship in the temple, but no, this was more than his job. He's missing that, all right? Okay, so the number one thing that we were missing was, really, corporate worship. Gosh, I think I cried that first Sunday all through worship. That was a mess. Okay, I was like, whoa. Now, I have my own worship life, but I don't sound like that. It was really good, okay? But anyway, this guy had an obstacle, okay? Plus, he's being persecuted. Like, they're like, we're going to kill you because of this, all right? So jump down to verse 3, Psalm 27, verse 3. Psalm 42, verse 3. My heart... My tears have been my food day and night. Talk about a liquid diet. Like that. That's terrible. While people say of me all day long, don't you hate when people say this? Oh, where's your God? You know? So you have been telling people the promise, the dream that you have heard from the Lord, and it's not happened. They're like, ha, ha, ha. Well, what about that? You know, what's going on? Did you really hear from God? Is that really God? Why, you know, what's happening, okay? So that's what he's saying, okay? Now, we know there's obstacles that sometimes stop. Now, for this guy, it was the bad guys that were stopping him from going down to the temple, okay? So we have obstacles. And then you start hearing people say things to you. Those are nonsense, right? And you can start hearing those things, maybe you didn't hear from God. Oh, I guess God ditched ship and he's not helping you out. Oh, you can start hearing that. You can start hearing that. And guess what's going to come out of your mouth? You know, I guess I didn't hear God. Or I guess that promise is never going to happen. Or I guess this, or I guess that, okay? And really, it's the enemy who's putting that thought, and we are going to speak that nonsense, and we shouldn't be doing that. Amen? So I have to say this. There are times it takes time. There are times it takes time, and you need to not quit. Say, don't quit. Just say, I'm the marathon runner. I'm going long, right? Okay, so, and we just have to say, that's okay. I know God is working on my behalf. I know God is fighting my battles. I know God is going to come through. I know God is always with me, and he's working for those that love him, all right? So those are things that we have to say. And verse 5, let's jump down there. Why, my soul, my emotions, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within? Like, you know, now we know this guy wants to get back to the temple. He wants to go down there and just worship, okay? But he's talking and he says, hey, soul, what is your problem? Why are you discouraged? Don't be depressed. Don't quit. Okay, and the last part's the best part. Put your hope in God, and I will yet again praise him. All right. So what is he saying to himself? I am not going to be discouraged. I am not going to say what everybody else is saying. I am going to say what God says. And I'm going to say that I am going to walk my dream out, and God is with me, and God's going to move on my behalf, all right? So again, what is he doing? He's speaking to his head. He's speaking to his emotions, okay? So maybe you're here today, and you've just been walking something out for a long time. I got something on my it's been a couple of decades, all right? And I have actually quit. I actually forgot and quit. That was stupid, okay? And you know, as I prepared for these scriptures and stuff, I was like, I'm on it, all right? God doesn't quit, so why am I quitting? Who am I going to trust? I'm going to trust the Lord that he is with me. So how about close your eyes, bow your heads, or bow your heads, close your eyes, whatever that is, okay? Father, I thank you that you are working in our lives. And Father, I know there's a lot of dreams out there that you have spoken to hearts, you've spoken the word, the promises, and it looks like, Lord, they're on hold. And Father, there's a lot of people here that have even heard bad reports, all right? And they're going through some battles. There's some people here that are just struggling to accept they're forgiven. But I thank you, Lord, that we can speak God's sense. We can speak your word, and we will trust your word. We will put our hope and our trust in your word, because you are a God that cannot lie, that all your promises are yes and amen. And Father, you go before us, and you surround us, and you bring us through. Amen. So everybody just real quiet. If you're like me, the Lord brought to my attention a dream that I had that I just forgot and quit. And I had to say, Lord, I forgive me. I knew that was your word. I knew that was your promises. I knew it was true. Forgive me for quitting. And I thank you that I'm all washed clean and I'm back with that. All right. And if you're one of those that just have struggled with, you know, just forgiving yourself and just quit listening to everybody else, the devil. I don't know if you're everybody that throws that back in your face. And you just know that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us. Just know that you're the forgiven. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, one more thing. The promise of God, all of those are beautiful and wonderful. And he's called us to live in these promises, okay? And there's a growing to get there, you know, like, I didn't know that. Really? That's so cool, okay? You know, we just don't get born and you know all this stuff. There's a walk to that. But I remember the day when someone asked me, I was actually at a Bible study. Small group, grow group, connect group, whatever you want. I was at a Bible study, and I'd been coming there for a couple of weeks, and I'd listened to this. This person had a Bible. Like, you have Bibles? How amazing, all right? So I'm going to this Bible study, and the gentleman looks at me, and he says, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life? And I kind of copped an attitude. I said, I go to church every Sunday. What are you talking about? Like, are you kidding me? I go to this church, and we all go to heaven. And he knew, and he just laid this out, and he said, Dee, do you know, and I never like to say this term, but it hit me like bullseye, so I said, do you know if you were to die today where you'd go to heaven, if you'd go to heaven or go to hell? And I was like, well, I go to church. And he goes, no. So what do you mean? And he went and explained. He says, to go to be in the family of God, you come to God like a little child and you just say, God, I'm far from you. I'm a sinner. I was a pretty glorious sinner back then too. So it was no, I don't know if I'm a sinner. I knew I was a sinner, okay? Sinners know they're sinners, okay? And I said, Lord, I come to you. And he said, you know, we're all sinners and you need a Savior. And his name is Jesus. And he died for you. And he wants to come into your life. He wants to give you a new life. That was the first time, quote, I heard the gospel. And that was it. And I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm tossing this out. And I look at people here, and I kind of know y'all and this and that. But if you're here and you have never asked Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, okay, you can't remember a time when you said, Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Okay, if you can't remember that, can I invite you today to meet Jesus, to let him come into your life, and he just does amazing things, all right? All right, so let's just all bow our heads, close our eyes. If this is you, and this is, you have never asked Jesus, and you're like, oh, I that's me. I want that. I would like to pray, you to pray with me. And so many of you have prayed this before. We're going to pray it with you. And we're going to pray it. So, and you pray this simple prayer, because Jesus said, if whoever calls on my name would be saved, all right? And it's not by works. I was at a church. You had to do works and penance and stuff like that. It's not by works. It's by coming to me that you can come into my presence. You can come into heaven. You can be born again. So if you've never prayed this prayer, pray this out loud so you can hear it. We're all going to pray it loud because we're loud. We're loud people, okay? And when you pray this, God's going to do a miracle. And you may not feel any different. You may not look any different. But he will do a miracle in your heart, okay? So pray this prayer. Everybody say this. Father, I come to you today, and I know that I'm a sinner. And Father, you sent Jesus to die on a cross for my sins and the sins of the world. And I thank you, Jesus, that you took my sins, carried them away from me, so that I can be your child. So right now, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life. I thank you now for forgiving me of my sins. And I thank you now that you are my Lord and Savior, and I am your child forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for prayer right now, something amazing happened inside of you, and you may not see it, okay? But you are now a child of God. It says, whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved forever, and he will never leave you and forsake you. So if you prayed that for the first time, I have my altar ministers and elders. Come up front, come up front, come up front. And we want to give you a Bible, okay? Because that is the book, and we've got some pamphlets for you. All right. Also, if you'd like prayer for anything, we're ready. We're gonna give you not nonsense. We're gonna give you God's sense. We're gonna give you God's word. So please come up front. If not, I hope to see you all on Saturday for Christmas Eve service. All right. Have a wonderful week. We love you.